name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Your mercy, that thou being our ruler and guide, We may so pass through things temporal that we finally lose none of the things that are eternal. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
He abideth in us by the Spirit which hath been given to us.
upon the epistle letter.
Thank you.
My sermon theme this morning is, it necessary to feel that we are saved. And it's based upon our epistle reading, and I would like to read one verse from the epistle. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So far, please be seated. Believe that one must feel that they are saved. They must feel their faith. And at any time they do not have this glorious feeling, there is doubt about the cleansing blood of Christ, that they are no longer a true believer, that they have fallen from God's grace, and they are outside the kingdom of God. But I ask, is this true? Must a Christian at all times have this definite, distinct feeling of grace in order to be saved? Has he or she fallen from grace every time he or she does not observe this glorious feeling? Is this thinking scriptural? We should all realize that this is a very serious question. And again, is it necessary to feel that we are saved? Well, to begin with, feelings are never reliable. As long as things are going well, as long as the fortunes of life are going our way, we may feel ourselves in God's grace. But then when the tables turn, so to speak, against us, when we become dissatisfied, when sorrow gets a hold of us, and when we feel condemned, what then? Do we then still feel sure of God's grace? And before you know it, our hearts begin to condemn us, which is very common. So common that St. John writes these words, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." What does John mean when he writes, "If our heart condemns us"? The heart is the seat of feeling, so to speak. And even as the mind is the seat of the intellect, and how often our hearts do condemn us. We are all sinners. We sin time and time again. And for all these sins, we do deserve God's eternal wrath, temporal death, and eternal damnation because of our sins. We know this. And therefore, we repent of our sins and we plead for mercy and forgiveness at the throne of God's grace. And yet, how often do these sins return to our minds? Sins which long ago have been repented of and forgiven, but still they have a way of rising up from the past and stepping before our very eyes in all of their unwelcome ugliness, and they condemn us once again. Think also of those troublesome moments when doubts and weakness, in which one is tempted to do anything to get rid of this temporal feeling of guilt. Doubts in which questions are asked, they arise, are you really sure that you are saved? Can God be merciful to a sinner like me? Will God forgive all of my sins? All causes us to cry out with St. Paul, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And so God appears far away at times. No sign of his gracious presence is felt. Would you say that in moments like that, when a Christian is filled with anxiety and fear, that God has actually withdrew his grace? That in such moments, when a Christian has momentarily lost this wonderful feeling of grace, that he or she has actually fallen from grace and is lost outside of God's kingdom? Would you say that Job, having lost all that he had, afflicted with boils, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, had fallen from grace? The Bible doesn't talk that way, but rather tells us that after Job stood the test of faith, God gave him more than he ever had before. In spite of Job's hardships, Job had not fallen from God's grace. On the other hand, there are those in this world who pride themselves on what they consider their almost perfect life. Therefore, they feel that upon the basis of their righteous life, as they so see it, God owes heaven to them. Would you say that such self-righteous men and women are in God's grace just because they feel that they're in God's grace? Jesus says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here we find ourselves in a strange position of having, on the one hand, believing Christians who are in grace, but who in a moment of spiritual depression do not feel that way. And on the other hand, the self-righteous who feel themselves in God's grace, but who are actually not. All this teaches us is that human feelings cannot be trusted and they are totally unreliable, a conclusion which is in perfect harmony with Holy Scripture. On the sickbed, people usually do not feel very happy, very carefree. Will you accuse them of no longer being in a state of grace? At the very time when strong assurances are needed, as in the hour of sickness, death, our feelings have a way of deserting us. Even though the Lord allows the trials to come into our lives, and our feelings tell us that we must have fallen from grace, we are indeed saved through faith in Christ. Even a weak faith is still faith. Which brings us to the final part of my sermon. Namely, we are saved by faith in Christ, not by our feelings, not by our works. As our sermon text states, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Our heart jumps to conclusions and condemns, but God is greater than that. God is kind, forgiving, merciful, and he is gracious. He sent his only begotten Son into this world to redeem us from sin, death, and hell itself. In perfect obedience to his Father's will, and out of love for us sinners, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came down to earth, took upon himself flesh and blood, placed himself under God's law, keeping it perfectly in every respect, paying the wages for sin by us, and with his own suffering and death on that cross. By Christ's perfect obedience to the will of the Father, his fulfilling the law, his suffering and death, Jesus Christ met all the requirements of divine justice, appeased the wrath of God, obtained a righteousness which counts before God, and now offers freely salvation and eternal life to all, in faith believe and trust in him as their Lord and Savior. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, we do not read, if you feel that you are in God's grace, you are saved. No, but we read by grace, you are saved through faith. Indeed, with confidence, we sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
have a prayer you would like to extend to the throne of grace, let's take a moment for that one. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give unto their soul, we pray that you let us experience your love of the heavenly peace that you have prepared for us this morning. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take all from ourselves, our smarted, sinful flesh, and our own self-righteousness, and give us the righteousness that has been purchased by the blood of Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
And we continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Oh,
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This too, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
True blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed forgiveness of all your sins.
Thank you. you, keep you in the saving grace, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in the saving grace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Shit.
majesty, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.